America First Committee, whose slogan, Defend America First, symbolizes your national safety, is an organization with no political affiliation, but dedicated to you and those dear to you, to your first and everlasting interests, a sane and sound defense for America. George Washington, speaking to both houses of Congress on January 8, 1790, said, "To be prepared for war is one of the effectual means of preserving peace." Those wise words, spoken more than 150 years ago by the father of our country, hold true today just as they did then. The aggressor thinks twice before he strikes against a prepared nation, and the war-mad Hitler would think twice before striking a single blow at a well-prepared America. We must build our defenses. This time we must defend America first. In all probability, you, Mr. and Mrs. American, agree that now more than ever before, America must build an impregnable defense if we are to preserve this last great democracy. But let's be sensible about it. Let's be practical. This is no time for hysteria. Action must be our motto. We cannot build the defense we need if we continue to give away our armaments. We need every flying fortress. We need every battleship. We need our tanks, our guns, our ammunition. Need them today more than at any time in our history. So let's protect our safe, our sane America with a defense second to none. Listen carefully later on in our program for information important to you and to your family. Now, Senator David I. Walsh of Massachusetts is waiting to bring you his thoughts on this essential American defense, on the importance of America staying out of all foreign wars. The America First Committee, whose slogan is Defend America First, brings you now Senator David I. Walsh.
It is my conviction that the overwhelming desire of the men and women of this country is for every possible measure of preparedness to strengthen our national defense. Equally strong and deep is the desire for peace and the avoidance of war, unless we be attacked in this hemisphere by aggressors from overseas. Defense of our land, our lives, and our liberty, however, does not require our participation in the European war. It is the opposite of such a course. It is my conviction that participation in the war in Europe, or in any war in the Orient, will be destructive not only of American lives and bring to our people untold sufferings and sacrifices, and shake our financial structure to its very foundations, but in the long run will spell the doom of our liberties and the downfall of our democratic institutions. Ever since the outbreak of the present war in Europe, there have been pressure groups in this country who have counseled American participation in that war. At first, they spoke softly and moved timidly. Their efforts, under the slogan Aid to the Allies, have steadily increased in intensity. This present danger point of involvement in the European war was foreseen long ago. We had the lessons of the World War of 1914 to 1918. We knew by what sequence of events the United States had been drawn into that war. We resolved it should not happen again, and when, several years ago, we saw the multiplying signs that another war in Europe was fast approaching, we set about to erect, by legislation, barriers against our involvement. As far back as 1935, the Congress set out to frame a Neutrality Act that would insulate the United States from the war in Europe if and when war came. We knew full well the pressure that would be upon us then to bring us into the war. Serious consideration was then given by the Congress to the American world position in contrast with the world position of European countries. We have had no European problems such as overpopulation. We have no desire for empire and no need for colonies. We had no grudges and no spirit of revenge. The situation in Europe is utterly different. European nations have been under the necessity of entering into alliances and agreements. And it has sometimes seemed that European nations have had no choice between war and peace. Our geographical position and our traditional non-alliance policy protects us from ever going to war unless we are attacked. Our paramount concern at this time, and at the time we enacted the first Neutrality Act in 1935, and our concern still should be to keep the United States out of war, out of any war, to preserve at all hazards our own peace and security, to preserve above all else our own democracy. Congress had fully in mind that one of the greatest tests of our neutrality policy would come in a European war in which nations, especially friendly to us, would be engaged. It was fully anticipated that the maximum pressure for participation of the United States in European war would be exerted under such circumstances. In a word, the very situation that exists today was foreseen, understood, and considered when we undertook to define our policy of neutrality in 1935. After extended consideration, Congress almost unanimously, and in the interest of American peace, decided to enact a neutrality law with the most rigid restrictions. But in recent months, with the surrender of France and England's desperate situation, these pressure groups have more and more loudly counseled our participation in the war. The mass of the American people have not changed their antipathy toward war. But the propaganda has been so intense that the will for peace and neutrality has been weakened by reiterated assertions that if Britain falls, Hitler will turn upon us next. The attempt is being made to involve us through fear, in frightening the American people into the belief that this is our war and we will be attacked if we remain neutral and mind our own business. The American people are confronted with two alternatives. One course is to join forces with the British and, unprepared though we are, to enter the war and to send our fleet and our planes to Europe. If we embark upon any such course whereby we are to join hands with England, to free France and Belgium and Holland and Poland and Norway, and to establish a regime of collective security for Europe, we may as well recognize that it is a committal of the United States to participate in all future European wars. The other course is to stay out of Europe, to refrain from further acts of belligerency, and to proceed with our own program for our own defense and security. In my judgment, no one who is really thinking of America, her interests and the welfare of her people, and who is conscious of the awful horrors, sufferings, hardships, and the suppression of liberty and impairment of democracy that war involves can hesitate for a moment as to the course which America should follow. One is the road to peace. The other is a steady march down the road to war. The short-sightedness of these pressure groups is beyond my comprehension. Swayed by their prejudices, they appear to me to be thinking only of the present hour. They have lost complete sight of the fact that America has been the torch of all mankind and can remain thus only by keeping aloof from Europe with its recurring wars of hatred, jealousies, and ambitions. The Declaration of Independence blazed a trail of hope to the civilized world. If we continue to follow that trail, we will continue to preserve our priceless inheritance, marked by the milestones of democracy, tolerance, individual freedom, and equality before the law. Nothing will destroy or annihilate that except war. In 1917, we failed to follow the admonition of the founders of our republic. We were swept into the world war under the familiar slogan, "Let us make the world safe for democracy." It was a catchy tune and the marching song for millions of American soldiers in the great parade across the Atlantic in 1917 and 1918. The fact that it was a death march for thousands of our American youths, the fact that it brought in its wake economic problems and financial disturbances, to this day, were discovered all too late. Have we lost the lesson of that tragic experience? The advocates of our participation in the present war freely admit that America is woefully unprepared for any major conflict. And yet they would have us dipped into war with a nation whose military force is supreme on the continent of Europe. And at a time when, if the side we espouse was defeated, even with our aid, we would have thereby intensified the bitterest hatred of the victorious Axis powers. If these interventionists were more considerate of our nation's future, for the lives of our youth, for the protection of our standards of living, for the preservation of our traditions and institutions, they could not have the heart to propose the abandonment of neutrality and our resort to war.
Thank you, Senator David I. Walsh, for your inspiring message. Clearly, concisely, you have shown us the way, the road to peace. Folks, let's preserve our American way. Let's take stock of our blessings, then act to preserve them. What can you do about it? Listen. Today, right now, write to your congressman or your senator. If you do not know his name, the post office in your community will give you his name. Then write. A penny postcard will do. Tell your senator or congressman to do all in his power to prevent America from intervening in somebody else's war. Tell him you stand for a strong national defense, but you are opposed to entering this war which America did not start and does not want to finish.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty.
The America First Committee, which is working tirelessly in your behalf to defend America First, needs your support, urges your full cooperation. Send your contribution. Anything from dimes to dollars will help. The address, America First Committee, Board of Trade Building, Chicago, Illinois. Let me repeat that address. America First Committee, Board of Trade Building, Chicago, Illinois. Remember, dimes or dollars will help. Seconds count. Write today.
Pilgrims, bright, bright.